I'm with Bruce Kettler, the Agribusiness Council of Indiana. And Bruce, I know a lot of work has gone into this grain buyer's bill, and now we're seeing it move through, and it's going to head to the governor's desk here. What are your thoughts on getting this thing across the finish line?
Well, we're very pleased. As an organization, of course, a lot of our members are the licensees that are affected by the regulations, the rules that the Grain Buyers Agency operates under. We're pleased to see it. We know that there were changes that needed to occur. The legislature made that clear. The result of some lawsuits made it clear. And I'm just pleased to say that one thing I first want to say is the agriculture groups in Indiana all came together and said, hey, we know that we want to figure out how to get these things taken care of. We know that we've got items that need to be adjusted. We know that based upon the lawsuit and some other things from the performance review from the agency, that there was an opportunity to be able to improve the statute, and everybody came together. Now, we didn't always disagree on everything, but that's part of what working together and figuring out what we need to do to make sure that we keep the grain industry strong, not only for the elevators and the folks that are buying grain, the licensees, but also for farmers, because obviously we want farmers to have a lot of opportunity for their markets and ability to be able to have different markets that they can take their grain to. And so it was a good effort on behalf of everybody to make it happen.
As a result of this, are farmers going to see much of a difference, or are a lot of these just administrative changes that are going to be really focused on the back end and farmers can just rest assured things are going to be okay?
Well, farmers won't see a lot of direct changes because of this. Keep in mind, there are two statutes. You've got a statute for the Grain Buyers and Warehouse Licensing Agency. Then there's also a statute that regulates or governs, is a better word, the Grain Indemnity Corporation or the Indemnity Fund, which, of course, can directly affect or go and pay farmers in the case that we get a licensee that's bankrupt or whatever. So a lot of the changes won't directly affect farmers. They will affect more of our ACI members directly, because there will be changes in what's accepted for an audited financial statement. There'll be changes in the procedures that the agency uses if there's a notice of deficiency at a licensee. So it more directly affected will be our ACI members that are or licensees that are involved in being regulated by the agency.
We mentioned off the top that members, ACI and other farm groups got together and did this. This didn't all just come together when the legislative session got together. This has been a long time in the making. Talk about the process to get this where it needed to be, and the collaboration that came from all these organizations and the State Department of Agriculture, frankly.
Absolutely. Here we are mid-April. We all started this process last June. To look at, and you're exactly right. It was, it was all the commodity groups, whether it's on a livestock side, crop side, of course, ACI from a commercial and licensee standpoint, Farm Bureau. And you are exactly right. The Grain Buyers Agency itself, because they're the entity that has to implement any regulations, they're the entity that has to implement any of the changes that happen in the statute. They're governed by the statute. They're governed by what they can or can't do in the statute. And so there had to be really good cooperation. And then, we were able to bring in the agency at appropriate times. They weren't in every meeting, but we were able to bring them in at appropriate times to say, okay, if we change this, how does that affect what you can do, or can you do it? And also, as a regulator, we want to make sure we don't put the licensees in a challenging situation, and we don't want to put farmers in a challenging situation if there's something that the agency can't implement. So there are literally, but if you look at all the folks involved in this, all the organizations, all the people, there are probably well over 300 plus hours that have gone into just getting this bill, put together, and then making sure that we answer questions from the legislature on what it will do.
By the time we get to this point in the legislative session, Bruce, we often talk about successes of bills, but sometimes even more importantly, there are bills that really never saw the light of day that are just as important. There are some of those bills that were out there this year for you and your members. Can you touch on some of those bills that you were just monitoring throughout the session that really, you know, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, they didn't see the light of day, and it was probably in the end maybe a good thing for you and your members?
Yeah, I think a couple that are top of mind for me, you know, there was a bill about moving the state chemist's office in under the State Department of Agriculture. That didn't move. There was a bill around, there were a number of bills around water. Now, of course, the water issue and conversation in Indiana the last couple of years affects more than agriculture, but it does affect agriculture. There wasn't a lot of movement there, but we were certainly watching it. It's probably going to more directly affect farmers because of irrigation and that, but it certainly can affect the business of our members. PFAS was another, there were a number of bills around PFAS that for the most part didn't move. They had some, there were some different pieces of that. We'll continue to watch because that's probably going to continue to be a challenge. There was a bill on some food and food ingredients. We monitor, doesn't affect a lot of our members too directly. And then the other one would be around, we were looking at, there were some bills that you have to kind of say, where do these come from and how do they affect us? But you know, there were some things on grain processing equipment tax credits, short line railroad tax credits that we were watching. So we always continue, because our members are broad in what they do, we make sure we have to monitor a lot of different bills and make sure that we know how they're going to proceed.
Now that the legislative session is just about wrapped up, what is next for the Agribusiness Council of Indiana? What's on the calendar upcoming?
Yeah, we'll want to watch a couple of those bills I mentioned, things like PFAS. You know, how does that happen at the state level? There was a bill around treated seeds and seed treatments, which of course is important to a number of our seed members. What does that look like? The water stuff I mentioned, we'll want to make sure we're watching that. I think what really is next for us as we go into, say, summer and into fall, a couple things. One, we have a policy committee that monitors, reviews, looks at all this. They help determine the policy direction for ACI and what we support or don't support. So we'll make sure that they're read in and that they have what they need to set next year's policy priorities. And then the other thing is really just finding ways to connect and bring legislators into our members' businesses, let them visit the businesses, show how the impact of, say, a PFAS, if we don't get, you know, we don't have the appropriate items for PFAS, if the water regulations are too burdensome, how do they affect the businesses? Treated seeds, if we do some things around treated seeds that are beyond what we currently do from US EPA, how does that affect the business? So really, it's just an educational standpoint of helping our legislators understand what appropriate regulation may look like and what's too burdensome.